Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
White smoke in Denver. They've picked a quarterback. The Kevin Herr watch is finally over.
That's great. I love that. That is good stuff. White smoke in Denver.
White smoke in Denver. They've picked a quarterback. Good news.
You know what? The funny thing is, up until about five, six years ago, nobody really would have understood that reference.
But now it happens every few years.
That's good. White smoke in Denver.
That's right. They made the choice, and Hines Ward bids bye-bye in Pittsburgh.
Which I'm very, very happy about. It would have just been torture to watch him in a different color uniform.
Well, he's made the decision. A two-time Super Bowl champion, MVP of Super Bowl 40, and also winner of Dancing with the Stars.
As a bonus.
I mean, really, in the end,
he's done
an all-around champion.
And name one receiver who has been more of an all-around player than Hines Ward. I don't think you could come up with one.
Hines Ward was probably one of the top possession receivers in the NFL. I think now Wes Welker, I think it's safe to say, has passed him out in that realm. But as a possession receiver, a big player receiver, he was not a stretch-the-field receiver, but he understood where the spots were on the field to get open. And he also, pound for pound, was probably the best blocking wide receiver in the National Football League.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Sometimes it would be too good of a block where you get a little bit of jersey, but it was still a solid block no matter what happened.
Yeah, but you have to be able to willing to sacrifice yourself.
No doubt.
To make plays. And he would sacrifice himself, and we could talk about maybe he grabbed a jersey here or there. So what? That's no big deal. He was out there with the intent of laying a block on somebody. And if he grabbed a jersey, it's only because somebody was getting away.
Let's be honest. In between that three-yard line of scrimmage, there's a lot of jersey grabbing going on. It's just when it gets outside the shoulder that it's a problem. But I know a lot of defensive backs used to complain that he holds all the time, but he was very good at what he did. He blocked like a lineman. That's why corners didn't have any idea how to get away from him.
No question. No question about it. Well, tomorrow we're going to have Mark Brennan of Fight on State on the show at 3:30 tomorrow following the 3:30 news. He'll be here at the Chateau, in fact. And we'll take your calls, if you wish. We'll talk about a variety of things, basketball as well as Penn State football with Mark Brennan of Fight on State tomorrow. He'll take your calls today here at the Palatial Chateau. He will have now made an appearance here. John Stroh made an appearance here. You have never been here before.
I have not, no. There's a rumor that I may be in about a month.
I don't know about that.
I said it was a rumor.
We'll see. I don't know. Not so sure.
It's always hope. Hey, I do have Hines Ward audio, by the way, and his comment. Do you want me to throw that in here? Or do you want to save it for later?
Sure, you can do that right now.
Let's do that now.
So today, I'm officially retiring as a Pittsburgh Steeler. And as much as I will miss football, my teammates, coaches, and everything about the game, I don't want to play it in any other uniform. The black and gold runs deep in me, and I will remain a Steeler for life.
I say retire the jersey now. Simple as that. Just retire it now.
Gone.
But you know what, though? It's kind of hard in the NFL to retire a jersey because, think about it. I mean, Swan, there's an argument there that you probably should have retired 88, too, when you talk about receivers. But, Look, as of today, it doesn't matter if you retire him. You could actually bring the jersey back then.
Well, you can, right? Frank Trepuka, Kelly Trepuka's dad.
By the way, you called it.
I know. 18, back in business. See, I agree with what the Cowboys do. And actually, they also do this in Denver. It's called the Ring of Honor.
That's a great idea, yeah.
That, to me, that's a little bit different than retiring a jersey.
Well, it's tough to retire a jersey in the NFL because you have a finite amount of numbers at every position.
Right, exactly.
And I mean, in Pittsburgh, if you started retiring jerseys from the 70s, I mean, you'd have no numbers left.
And in college football, I mean, you don't have any idea how many tackles Derek Moy made this year. All right, our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. NCAA tournament. Now, Kevin last night said to me, he says, Steve, you've got to ask these Big Ten announcers about all the upsets. Well, okay. Today we're going to talk with three announcers. Wisconsin's Matt LePay, who's involved in a 1-4 matchup with Syracuse. Don Fisher of Indiana, who's involved in a 1-4 matchup with Kentucky. And Will Tiemann of Michigan State, who's involved in a 1-4 matchup with Louisville.
So what's your point?
Some things have stood out. You know what? It's actually held much greater form than people realize.
Well, I think it's a lot of it because of, you know, upsets like Lehigh over Duke getting so much attention.
It's because of who it was. Yeah, right. Two twos going out in Duke and Kansas to 15s. And when it's only happened four times before and hadn't happened in 11 years, and suddenly it happens within 3 hours and 22 minutes, then you do have some issues. But let's bring in Matt LePay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin basketball on the Badger Radio Network. And Wisconsin will get Syracuse. Coming off an opening round win over Montana, where I told her, by the way, that Montana would not break 50. Wisconsin won 73-49 and then beat a really good Vanderbilt team 60-57. So, Matt, in that time span of 48 hours, did we really see the fruition of what we call Bo Ryan's type of basketball?
I think so, Steve. A couple of things that Wisconsin was doing pretty well as the regular season was getting into the final couple weeks. They were getting a little more scoring balance. I mean, clearly there are games or there are segments of games where Jordan Taylor needs to take over, but they're getting a little bit more balance, and the defense, which has been there for the most part throughout the season, continued. That was really a good Vanderbilt team. Actually, Montana was pretty good too, but Vanderbilt, you know, it's fresh off of winning the SEC tournament, having beaten Kentucky in the championship game. They have a shooter in John Jenkins who gets the ball released about as fast as anybody that Wisconsin has seen in the last few years. And the Badgers really did a good job on him, as well as another pretty prolific scorer, somebody who can be, in Jeffrey Taylor. So you saw the defense continue to play pretty well, and they made enough shots. They didn't shoot it great, but for Wisconsin, if it shoots in the low 40s, that's most of the time going to be good enough, and that was what happened on Saturday especially.
There was a moment against Vanderbilt with, two, 3 minutes ago where Jordan Taylor stepped out and hit a nice deep three. I know the numbers, 39% for the season, but 55% in the final 5 minutes of games. I've been around a Taylor battle who was like that. Tell me what it's like for you to see Jordan Taylor at those moments.
Yeah, it's that classic case, and as you said, you saw it with Battle. It's not so much how many you score, it's when you score them, and that shot that you're referring to on Saturday, the shot clock was winding down, Wisconsin's down by one, it's actually about minute 40 left in the game, and in a gotta-have-it play, Taylor delivered, and that's been the beauty of him and his career. It just seems more often than not, when the team has had to really rely on Taylor, he's been able to come through. And I think he was recognized, and rightfully so, with his all-conference recognition, even though the statistics of his shooting percentages aren't as good as they were a year ago. The cast around him has changed quite a bit, too. So Wisconsin's been pretty fortunate these last several years where they have had players, be it a Devin Harris, Cam Taylor, made a lot of big shots when he was here, Trayvon Hughes, big shot and to win a tournament game a few years ago, and Taylor just is that latest in a line where he's just so steady, so efficient, and then when you see him deliver in the clutch like that, you don't take it for granted, but you're certainly not surprised when he does.
Matt, a lot of people did not want Reggie Evans coming out of high school. In fact, he was cut during his high school years. What did Bo see in him, and what has allowed Reggie Evans to develop into a really good college basketball player?
Well, it's been one of the better stories watching Ryan develop the way he has. He's somebody, he has some athletic gifts. He's not maybe the most athletic guy you'll ever see. And he was one of those guys cut from his high school team. I don't want to compare him to Michael Jordan in any way, but I guess in that regard, there's some there's similarities. They probably stop there.
I don't think Ryan minds when we compare him to Michael Jordan.
No, but it'll stop there with, not making a high school team early on, but he's one of those, I don't know if I want to say late bloomer, maybe in the college sense, because I'm not sure if people thought that a guy like Ryan Evans would average 11.7 rebounds a game, but he has been a consistent scorer, and in this tournament, Steve, he's really gotten off the hot starts in each of the first two games against Montana and against Vanderbilt. I think at times, he can be streaky, and opponents at times will just let him shoot, and because he's not shy. Let's put it that way. I think Wisconsin has this reputation of a lot of gun-shy players out there, and that's really not necessarily the case, and especially with Ryan Evans. Sometimes he shoots when they would rather he not. But what they've been able to get out of him is almost typical of the Wisconsin player, where they're not, in by and large, five-star players, not by and large McDonald's All-Americans, but just people who develop and get better. It's the exception of the rule when a player goes through this program where they flatten out. I mean, it's you see that progression with guys, and Evans has this ability to hit the baseline jumper. He's not really a strong three-point threat, although he's knocked down a couple here in this first weekend of the tournament. But he's a mid-range type of guy, and his ability to get the rebounds, I think that's really been a nice surprise. And he's had some really tough defensive assignments throughout this season, and he's fared well. It's just if you would have told me back in November he'd average double digits and get seven rebounds a game, I'm not sure I would have bought that. But he has, and it's been one of the nicer stories of this season, going back to November to where he is right now.
Also one of the nicer stories of the season for Wisconsin. Ben Brust had averaged, I think, about 54% of the bench points for Wisconsin as of a month ago, the last time, obviously, I ran numbers on Wisconsin. But Rob Wilson has stepped up in his senior season. What has been the difference in Rob down the stretch?
Rob told a lot of folks, myself and probably anybody else who asked him, he would tell all of us that, I can hear the clock ticking. He's a senior. It's been a tough career for him. Last year he had a couple of starts and didn't fare particularly well in those games, and then was back on the bench, and his minutes were very limited. To his credit, he stayed with it. He never complained. He's a guy who's going to be getting his degree this spring, and the first person in his family to earn a college degree. And what we've seen on the basketball court, Steve, is a guy more assertive. I talked about Evans, where sometimes maybe he shoots when they would prefer he not. At times, Rob out there, Wilson would look a little bit tentative, seemingly almost afraid to make a mistake and get himself pulled. Now he's just gone after it. It's like, okay, this is it. I'm into my last few weeks here. I'm just going to let it rip. And he's played very well. Now, Vanderbilt did a very good job on him. He didn't score in that game. But you take that away, and you're looking at a guy who over the past couple of weeks is averaging 10, 11 points a game. The 30-pointer against Indiana in the Big Ten tournament was the real eye-popper there. But even if you remove that, he's made some big shots, be it in the game against Ohio State, made some very impressive plays that turned out to be a loss to Iowa. But he's taking and making some shots, giving him a pretty good effort on the defensive end as well. That has been probably more of the heartwarming story for this team, because everybody likes Rob Wilson, and it was really fun in that tournament, in the conference tournament game against Indiana, how excited his teammates were for him when he had that 30-point game against IU.
I know you're on a tight schedule, so I'm going to have two more questions, and I'll let you go. One deals with Jared Bergeron, because obviously the Syracuse front line is going to be it's a, you know, whether, you know, we know Fab Mello won't be there. That doesn't matter. But what has made Bergeron an effective guy against virtually everybody this year?
I think just gaining experience. He didn't play a whole lot last year. He was one of those guys that, you know, he's been in the program. He's a junior. But the role became much more significant for him this season. And maybe some of those early games, especially the first time around against Jared Sullinger, where it was a tough day for Jared Bergeron, he learned a lot off of that. And I think just gaining more game experience. Second game against Ohio State in Columbus, he really played well. He had a shot that ended up being the game winner. And, you know, he gained a lot of confidence playing against guys like Sullinger, going up against Cody Zeller twice, faring well in those games, Myers Leonard of Illinois. And I think that helped prep him for what's been ahead in this tournament. The Montana kid, the big on that team, is a 7-footer who, like Bergeron, can step outside and hit shots. Bergeron did a nice job there. And then going up against the big guy for Vanderbilt, Festus Ezeli, again, Jared held his own. So I think with him, Steve, it's maybe just game experience as much as anything. And he had some success and was able to build confidence off of that. And what you have right now is a pretty solid player. I mean, I'm not going to say he's great, but I think he's a very solid player who is underrated now, maybe by a lot of the folks who cover the Big Ten and beyond. I mean, the big men are still in this tournament. I don't know if Bergeron would be the first guy, first or second guy that would come to mind, but he's starting to establish himself a little bit more and more each game.
I think a lot of people would like to have him. And finally, you know, you've watched Bo's system over the years. Now, they don't run swing all the time. They just mix it in from time to time. Like when it's zone, like you're going to see nothing but exclusive 2-3 zone from what Jim Boeheim wants to do. Can the swing even be used? Because one of the principles is to post up a guard in the post and get a mismatch.
Yeah, you really, against a zone, you don't see the swing very much. You don't see the swing, let's put it that way.
Right.
That type of an offense against a zone defense. It'll still be, with Bo, though, and then with any number of coaches, a big key of this is going to be paint touches, post touches, if you can either throwing it inside, going inside out, or via dribble penetration. This isn't a team with cat quick guards necessarily, but you've seen Jordan Taylor enough. You know he has the strength to penetrate into the lane and be able to draw and kick from there. Wisconsin shoots a lot of threes, on average 21, 22 a game, and I would expect it would shoot at least that many against Syracuse on Thursday night. But that said, the ability to get the ball at least to the mid-range. And this is where, when we talk about Ryan Evans a little while ago, his ability to hit the mid-range shots, it would seem to me, would be among the keys in this game against Syracuse. You don't want to be launching threes all night long. They'll take their share and then some. But I think for this team, just a quick ball movement, try to do what you can to get Syracuse out of position, and either through the quick ball movement along the perimeter or through dribble penetration or post touches. They still like to go inside out when they can. And if they miss the shots, have the ability to chase down the rebound. As people who watch Syracuse know, rebounding is anything but a strength for that team, especially now with Mello out. So perhaps Wisconsin could take advantage of that. It's going to need to. It's going to need to shoot the ball reasonably well to have a chance. Wisconsin's number's pretty good. If it's 40% or better, it's only lost twice all season. That's not asking for the world. But it's easier said than done against a team like Syracuse.
Yeah, and people don't realize that even with Mello in the lineup, Syracuse was out-rebounded as a team this season. Just one other note, you and Keels are both in Boston together since Ohio State is there. The authorities have been alerted.
As well they should. As our colleague at Georgia Tech said, are they ready for you two? And I said, well, I'm sure they are, but we'll put it to the test anyway.
And Dolphin is sitting right now in Iowa City saying, why not us?
He's not a happy camper, but I would expect that Dolphin would be getting some type of a phone call from Paul and or myself. We'll not do that. You have too much class. We would not do that to you. But Dolph has no class, so we will we'll take advantage of that opportunity to razz him.
Matt, thanks so much. Matt LaPlay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin basketball. And we have saved that, and I am going to be emailing that section to Gary Dolphin, the outstanding play-by-play voice at Iowa. This is where you jump in, Herr.
No, well, Sean Carey came in with a trivia question, and I've been thinking about it while you were doing that segment there.
Yes, the Colts wear blue jerseys.
No, we'll it wasn't the Colts wearing blue jerseys.
We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show and the Kevin Herr intriguing trivia question delivered by Sean Carey after this.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. And if you want to save big at the gas pump, Sunbury Motors Hyundai has the miles per gallon your wallet is looking for. If you trade your current vehicle that gets 22 miles per gallon on a brand new Hyundai Veloster, you'll save $1,647 per year or $8,236 over 5 years. If you're looking for an all-wheel drive to trade in on, a brand new Hyundai Tucson will save you $3,929 over 5 years. Every Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll get an additional set of tires. So what are you waiting for? Trade in your current vehicle at Sunbury Motors Hyundai with the possibility of saving thousands over the next 5 years. Go to sunburymotors.com, hover over new, click on calculate fuel savings, and fill in the rest. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
This is Dr. Dunnigan from Shamokin Dam Health Center. We believe a combination of care is the best approach to total health. As we continue to expand on the services we provide, we are now offering massage therapy as a part of our natural approach to help you stay healthy. Our licensed therapists provide individual treatment plans to address your needs and work together with our integrated staff to restore optimal health and eliminate pain, all in one convenient location. To schedule your appointment, call 743-4333. That's 743-4333. Shamokin Dam Health Center, promoting tomorrow's health today.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brings me to a shopping mall. Of course, when it comes to shopping for car insurance, most people go to GEICO. I mean, with all the discounts they offer, why would you shop anywhere else? There are discounts for completing defensive driving courses, multi-policy discounts, and discounts for being accident-free. You know, this mall is a real maze. I think I passed that candle store about 5 times.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Last week, millions watched the premiere of Fashion Star, and America bought the fashions they saw on the show online and in stores.
You rocked us.
And tonight on NBC, the buyers from H&M, Macy's, and Saks get into an all-out bidding war.
$50,000, $80,000, $110,000. How about that?
Supermodel Elle McPherson, John Varvatos, Nicole Richie, and Jessica Simpson are looking for the world's next fashion star. Tonight on NBC.
To the bottom of the hour we go. Next half hour, Will Team in the play-by-play voice of Michigan State. And we'll also hear from Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice in Indiana. Then we'll open up the phone lines because Kevin Herr is aching to talk about Peyton Manning. He is aching to talk about Tim Tebow. He is aching to talk about Alex Smith. And he is aching to talk about Chase Utley.
That pretty much covers it. I'm excited.
Ratings say that the NCAA basketball tournament right now has America captured. We'll We'll continue with that theme. Next half hour, as somebody stays in touch with America. But in Denver, they're with you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Note from management that we need to cut Herr out as many segments as possible along the way, and thus this segment is perfect. Say hi, Kev.
I've never seen you happier to oblige than right now.
Time now to go to Phoenix, or as Sean Carey would say, Pahonix.
Phoenix.
as Michigan State gets ready for another 1-4 matchup. What the heck's all with these 1-4 matchups? I thought this was nothing but upsets in this tournament. It's going to be Michigan State against Louisville. We're joined by the play-by-play voice of Michigan State basketball, Will Thiemann. Will, after a run to the championship in Indianapolis and then going out on the road in the West Regional, and now you're in Phoenix and you had, what, less than a 24-hour turnaround, does the family even know you exist at this particular stage?
My concern is, Steve, do they care? That's my concern.
now you're in my house.
Yeah, but it's been just a whirlwind. But you know, it's kind of been an emotional swing too. If you go back, when you talk about a few weeks, if you go back to our last regular season game, all we have to do is beat Ohio State on Senior Day, and we're the outright Big Ten champions. At the end of the day, you lose one of your starters for the year in Brandon Dawson, a key element for the season, and you lose Senior Day on a great shot by William Buford of Ohio State, and you now share the Big Ten title with, of all people, Michigan. So these aren't good things if you're Michigan State. And then Tom Izzo, in a world where you don't really want to step out there too much, makes a bold claim. Because the Senior Day celebration comes after the game at Michigan State. He told a packed house at the Breslin Center, we are going to Indy in the Big Ten tournament to reclaim our championship. So he declared war on the Big Ten, and he looked at the Big Ten tourney as the tiebreak. So that's kind of a bold statement, as opposed to just saying, well, let's go down there and do the best we can. He said, we're going to win, and that's exactly what happened. And we were able to get that done. So now you have this great emotional swing in 7 days, and now it's off to the tournament and the number one seed. And so as we've gone that way, what we have found, Steve, in the last week or two is that the Michigan State team is pretty good in terms of being a team. It's never been a great team, but it's been a pretty good team. And they have found a way to overcome injuries. Now, we've lost two guys, one at the beginning, Del Monroe, and now Brandon Dawson. So the front line is really thin. But yet guys are stepping up, people that you wouldn't guess. And I guess that's what really good teams do. So now the question is, we're not quite as athletic as we have been because of injuries. And we're going to play Louisville coming up, and they are very athletic. So as we get to the Sweet 16 and up, or our lack of having those really quick, strong rebounding people down low hurt us?
Find out. And one of the guys that stepped up, Adrian Payne, had a career best 16 against Long Island. But Derek Nix, I want to ask you about him, Will, because here's a guy who is now 70 pounds lighter than he was in high school. He's actually 50 pounds lighter than the day he entered Michigan State. What has he meant all season with his improvement, and especially now that Dawson and Rowe aren't there?
Steve, if he doesn't do what he has done, we're not here. I'm talking to you from my couch in Haslett, Michigan. I'm not in Phoenix, Arizona. What he has done with his game has been pretty amazing, because as he's, number one, grown up a little bit and made a commitment to basketball, he's changed his game. He's added little pieces as we have gone. And he's got this really amazing spin move on the baseline. Once he does it, it's almost impossible to stop it so quick. But we were in a game, I don't know if it was the St. Louis game or the game against Long Island, but he did his little spin move, right? And they called him for travel. And they called him for travel because I think the official did not believe anybody could spin that quick and be that big in that trap. The guy is amazing. But, you know, he's an incredible passer as well. And that's the other neat thing about this basketball team. Between Draymond Green, Nix, and Adrian Payne, you have three guys that play down low that really pass the ball well and see the court. And that's another unusual thing. I've never seen such a group of guys down low that can see the court. And we now can play that out, that, you know, that inside-outside game pretty well.
Draymond Green, when it came time for me to vote for the Wooden Award, you know, I went Davis and Robinson, but Green was an easy third choice for me. you've been around Michigan State basketball a long time. You've seen some great basketball players. Is there a better rounded college basketball player, whether it be passing, scoring, rebounding, and leadership, than Draymond Green?
Well, not in recent times, Steve. Not that I've got to deal with. And, you know, it's interesting. Behind the scenes, he's an amazing individual. And that's in itself special. On the court, which people see, it's funny. He had a triple-double in our first tournament game. He almost got one against St. Louis, which is really hard, considering when you play St. Louis, nobody scores a lot of points. But you sit there, you watch the game, and now you're getting down the last 4 or 5 minutes of it, and you go, wait a minute, this guy's got 16 points, he's got 12 rebounds, he's pushing a triple-double. And my point is, as he gets these massive numbers, he does it within the framework of team, and you don't notice what he's doing really because he's not hogging the ball. It's not all about Draymond Green. He's just in the flow of the game, and, you know, some games he starts off slow, some fast. He just plays basketball, and what's even more fun if you watch him, I mean, he's a forward, right? There's one trip down in the game, he is really upset with the way we run our offense in St. Louis. So he starts screaming at the point guard, Keith Appling, and from his forward position, getting everybody in their spot to run his offense. That was hysterical. So he's a good guy. He's a team leader. Rick Majerus, the head coach of St. Louis, said he is the perfect college basketball player. And you know what? Coach Majerus might be pretty close to Bray.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that very much so. Keith Appling is a guy that last year was a good compliment, and you could see great potential in him. Much more was thrust upon his shoulders this season. How much better is he now compared to even December and early January?
Well, he's better, Steve, but what's been interesting is, you know, going from that shooting guard to the point position is a lot to learn, especially with the Izzo offense. There's just a lot of things going on there.
He has a very thick playbook. People don't realize that.
I know. You know, it looks like the Penn State football book.
It does, yeah.
It's got lots of pages. and so he took him a while to get going. He's always been really good defensively, but somewhere along the way, he sort of lost confidence in his shot. So here's a guy who was our top perimeter shooter a year ago. Now, all of a sudden, really, he didn't want to shoot the ball. And so he started changing his offensive game. Instead of shooting a three or a 12 or 13 footer, he would just try to drive to the basket. Well, St. Louis, I mean, they've been seeing what we've been seeing. They decided to not guard him. They doubled up down low against our bigs and let him have open shots, which is amazing when you think about that. They deemed him somebody they could not guard real tight. And Keith was hesitant to even take the shot then. But finally he took a few, made a few. That was one of the turning points because they left him open and he finally started making a couple. But if we're going to keep going in this tournament, Keith Appling has got to start shooting a little bit because people see what people do. And if it worked for St. Louis almost, I'm sure some other people tried as well because he can't stop us down low. But it sure helps if you don't have to guard us out front.
We're with Will Team and the play-by-play voice of Michigan State basketball in Phoenix. They get Louisville in a 1-4 matchup out west. The role player, the quote role players on this team, Wood, Trice, Kearney, who has stepped up. Payne starts, but at times can be a role player. Thornton, what have they meant to the run for Tom Izzo?
Steve, without this collection of people, there's no run. We're just done. And as you go through that list quickly, there's Austin Thornton, who's a co-captain, a fifth-year senior. He's one of those guys, his whole career has been great in practice. And every time he got in the game, it didn't work.
You and I have seen those guys many, many times. Yeah.
Yeah. And all of a sudden it clicked. You know that line, he couldn't shoot it in the ocean? He shot so poorly. Really, he shot so poorly in the aircraft carrier game. I thought I was going to get to use it. He really did shoot it in the ocean. But he got his confidence one game. He made a couple big shots, and he's been that guy that has been massive for us. And we were playing, it was Wisconsin in the Big Ten tournament, and the Badgers were really doing well, and we were digging ourselves a pretty good hole early. And all of a sudden, here comes Austin Thornton. Three threes in a row, and we're right back in the game. So he doesn't shoot a lot, but he makes them when it counts. And then you look at Wood, who, when we went to Indiana in the regular season, if he could have played worse, I don't know how. And then he regroups. And when we played in the title game against Ohio State, he had a career-high 21 points. And so you have these stories of these guys. And Kearney, they talked about as a 6'5 freshman guard. They were going to redshirt him, maybe. And then all of a sudden, you know, he played a little defense. Every now and then he can shoot the ball. And that, he comes in not so much he's going to, you know, get you 6-8 points, but he's going to give the other team a tough matchup defensively out front. And so you just go through that crowd and you go, who is it today that's going to step up? And so far it's been all of them.
The Louisville matchup. What when Tommy looks at the Louisville matchup, what are some things right away that he knows Michigan State will need to take care of to make sure they take care of Louisville?
Boy, Steve, it's pretty simple with these guys. You know, St. Louis is fairly complicated, but Louisville's not complicated at all. They are really quick. They're not the biggest guys in the block, but they are quick. And their offense is simple. They have guards that love to dribble drive, and they spread you, and they just want to drive right to the basket going 100 miles an hour. They use ball screens, and if the dribble drive doesn't work, they throw it to somebody in the wing, and he tries a three. And so that basically is their offense. It's not much schematically speaking. But now that you know it, okay, how you stop it, that's the trick always. And the thing that has been interesting about them, as athletic as they are, they have not scored a lot of points. I mean, their season really was on the ropes, and they got hot in their postseason tournament to get, you know, into the tournament the way they did. But they don't shoot real well. So the key is, I guess, as they have these three guards that love to just right to the basket and do it so well, if you can stop that and make them shoot from outside where they don't shoot real well, even though they shoot a lot, you got a shot. But they're really quick. And defensively, you know, I've never thought of a Rick Pitino team as being that good defensively. I always think of them shooting the threes and all that sort of thing. This team doesn't do that. They're pretty good defensively, too.
Yeah. Finally, I want to ask about the guy that runs this whole thing. The last time I was in East Lansing, I had a great talk with Tom Izzo because, first of all, he's a great guy to talk with and just is a great guy. Very supportive of other coaches along the way. But he also, in my opinion, doesn't quite get his just due because a lot of focus is on, and Coach K has had an incredible career, more wins than anybody, his national titles, Roy Williams and so forth. Tom has brought his team to the Final Four 6 times in 13 years, and now here he is as a number one seed. What has made him an excellent postseason coach over such a long period of time? What does he do to get ready for these moments that make Michigan State so effective?
You know, Steve, I think with him, I think it's a couple things. I think his fear of failure drives him. He is the one individual that I never say, Tom, I'm tired. No way, because I've never seen anybody work quite like he does. And he's driven to be successful. That's some of it. And it's a given he's got skill. I mean, people at this level, they do have great skill. They know what they're doing. They know how to communicate. That's some of it. But he has a sign up in his office, and I'm going to be close on this. And it's basically, it says something like, kids don't care what you know. They care if you care. Now I think that sums up the other part of it. He's a tough dude. He asks a lot. And you better really be ready to come to be a tough guy and give it all you have, or you can't hang with him. But as he drives his team to perfection, that impossible task to get to perfection. The reason why they respond to him is because he knows he cares about them. He truly does have their back. And so if you're going to ask a young person for all they have, they've got to know that you're going to give to them all you have. And I think that's a big part of this. I really do. Because those guys know that he's their coach and he's with them through thick and thin. And I've seen it over and over and over again with him, what he does and how all the players come back. I mean, they come back because they love the guy. He has a player reunion in his house after one of the games this year. They have over 200 former players show up, guys from Hawaii, all over the country, because of what they think about him and parents. It's amazing the family he has built. And so between the way he cares about people, his work ethic, his skill, I think that kind of sums it up. And, you know, the other thing, we mentioned Krzyzewski, and we can throw Roy Williams and all those people in there. But the one thing those guys have over Tom, when Mike Krzyzewski went to Duke, he didn't create Duke basketball. He was already there. Roy Williams, who had his great success at Kansas, when he went to North Carolina, it was down a little bit, but it's still North Carolina. And you know, when you had that reputation of greatness, that helps you in the tiebreak in recruiting. Well, when Tom Izzo took over Michigan State had Magic Johnson. Michigan State had won a few games, had a national title, a few Big Tens, but not a team that day in and day out was going to the NCAA tournament. So on top of all these things I've mentioned about Izzo, Tom had to change the culture at Michigan State. Being in Michigan State isn't easy. It's not like you walk in and you go, "Hi, I'm Tom Izzo from North Carolina or Duke." It isn't that way. When he started, nobody even knew who Tom Izzo was. Judd Heathfield left him a horrible team. How we got to the NIT back-to-back years is his first 2 years deep is a miracle.
I know.
I was there.
I watched it. I mean, I saw Tommy's first couple of years. I was surprised they got to postseason play.
Yeah, and so he has changed that culture. And now people go, "Wow, Michigan State, that's neat. Those guys are great. I bet that's fun." You hear all these things, and it's all true. But for me anyway, the thing that I like the most about it, and there's many things I do like about it, is that I won't forget how it was at the beginning with Tom. I won't forget the team he inherited to begin his career and those who doubted why he even got the job. You remember those things, which helps you appreciate what he's done and what all of his players have done. And the neat thing about guys like me and you, Steve, when those people do well, we have a great time. We're great announcers. We say good things. Everybody loves us. Go ahead.
We reap the benefits all the time of the good times, don't we?
We sure do.
Will, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Will Thiemann joining us from Phoenix, where Michigan State's the number one seed in the West Regional, and they got number four Louisville on Thursday night. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
This is Hollywood, where we've added more world-class table games than ever before. Now you can play all the blackjack, all the craps, roulette, and poker you want, wherever you want. Plus, we've got a bad beat poker jackpot that could go up to tens of thousands of dollars. Your table is waiting. So start winning big at Hollywood, where the stage is set and the whole cast is here. From the crowd-pleasing chefs in the kitchen to the movers and shakers on the dance floor. From the dealers directing the action to the blockbuster winners and breakout stars. Here, you've got the lead role. Because there's no place like Hollywood Casino. Just minutes from Harrisburg and Hershey. Take I-81 to exit 80. Must be 21 or older to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-565-2112 for help.
The 2012 Showcase event is here. Plus, it's Truck Month at BZ Motors Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Lewisburg. Now, get $1,000 bonus cash off new 2012 Ram trucks. That means you can get a new 2012 Ram 1500 Quad Cab Tradesman 4x4 pickup with Ram Box towing package and spray-in bed liner for as low as $26,990 at BZ Motors. How about a new 2012 Dodge Caliber with up to 32 highway miles per gallon starting at only $15,630? BZ Motors also has new 2012 Chrysler 200 with up to 31 highway miles per gallon for as low as $17,870. Or take advantage of 0% APR financing for up to 72 months on all new 2012 Chrysler 200. Check out the $0 down sign and drive leases you can get at BZ Motors. Don't miss the 2012 Showcase event going on now at BZ Motors Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Lewisburg. Remember, nobody beats BZ, the dealership you can trust. Special financing on approved credit. All prices after rebate and are plus tax, title, and tags.
Spring's coming. Time to look at building your dream home with Brookside Homes. Just one look is all it takes to see what makes Brookside better. Superb construction with Zip exterior, wall shading, and StormX water barrier. Dense pack insulation and new Superior XI Plus basement walls, plus hybrid heating cooling systems. Now amenities like hardwood floors and superior quality Stainmaster carpet. Look at choices. Over 90 plans and more standard features than any other builder. Call us at 374-7900 or visit brookside-homes.com. You'll say just one look is all it took.
Take a look at Brookside.
For your next home improvement project, Lewisburg Builder Supply is the only name you need to know. In addition to being your local convenience source for hardware, building materials, and home improvement products, Lewisburg Builder Supply is also a full-service kitchen and bath design center. Lewisburg Builder Supply stocks and supports quality USA-made products and materials, while remaining fiercely price competitive. Stop by Lewisburg Builder Supply, Route 15 in Hafer Road, Lewisburg, or visit lewisburgbuilders.com. For over 70 years, Lewisburg Builder Supply has been your foundation for great building projects.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show at WKOK. Our thanks to Will Thiemann, Matt LePay, Will from the Michigan State Radio Network, and Matt from the Wisconsin Radio Network. Yesterday we had Paul Keels from Ohio State. Next half hour we will hear from Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana basketball. Kevin Herr is in tow. He's been aching to talk to the masses about various topics. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I tell you what, when we open up the phone lines, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. We have Tebow, where he's going to go. The Eagles are actually coming up as a possible place for him to go in a trade. And you know what? That's not the craziest thing I've heard. I mean, he's left-handed. He's a mobile quarterback. It kind of fits what the Eagles are doing right now.
He doesn't want to play in the North.
Well, he wants to play in Florida. You're absolutely right. He wants to play in Florida, which is why Jacksonville's probably the number one spot. But I don't know. If you're an Eagles fan, and this is what I want to hear from Eagles fans, do you feel confident with Trent Edwards and Mike Kafka as your backup? Because you know what's going to happen. Vic will get hurt. It's indefinite. It's just a point of what game it'll be.
Well, I think better yet, ask them, do you want Tim Tebow?
Well, I think that's all part of it.
Do you want Tim Tebow?
Yeah. Now, the Jaguars are looking
at it. I'll be honest with you, because technically, as a thrower, Mike Kafka's a better thrower.
Oof.
I mean, I've seen Mike Kafka play in person.
I know that.
Mike Kafka can play.
I know that. Does he instill confidence? That's what you have to ask.
Well, gee, a guy completing 47% of his passes and leading teams to 58-yard field goals at the end of games doesn't exactly inspire me to say, wow, there's the answer.
Well, all right. I'll give you that. But he does have some intangibles that maybe
Kevin, for mobility. For three and a half quarters, he wastes his time.
Yeah, but he wins. That's
no,
the difference.
The Denver Broncos win.
Well, the Miami Dolphins sure won't with the quarterbacks that they've chosen now.
Well, the Dolphins don't have a lot around them. Tebow actually, this is what Peyton Manning's going to find out. He actually has a lot around him, and especially as a defense on the other side. That's why Alex Smith should stay in San Francisco. That defense is worth 9 wins a season.
Yeah.
Second hour of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. After the top of the hour, CBS News and WKOK News.